Thank you. Of course, I bring love and greetings from the island of Barbados. Hardly would have done that some years ago, but now I, in my turn, bring love and greetings from all the saints in Barbados. One little word of prayer, please, and then we look a little at Daniel. God and Father, we, your children, are cast upon you for help. We ask that the Lord Jesus might be lifted up. He might be glorified. The Spirit of God might have free course. Your people might receive a blessing and help as we seek to live in this world that has rejected your Son. We ask your help, O God. We ask for your blessing. We think of the assembly here and ask that you will bless each one. And cause, O God, that the testimony might burn brightly, continually. And we thank thee for what we have seen of the fellowship and the love of the saints here. We give thanks. Look to you now for help, for vain is the help of man. In your alone most worthy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
We've just had lunch, and I will probably, after reading this Daniel chapter 9, I will probably give you a little story that I heard about lunch. I'm reading Daniel chapter 9. I begin at verse 1, and by God's help, I'll read the chapter. In the first year of Darius, the king of the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Jehovah my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, who spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth to thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, unto all Israel that are near, that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before Jehovah, our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolation, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for any righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I read the entire chapter, but my discussion has to do more with the thought of what really is intercession. And by the help of the Lord, if we can, from the scriptures, get an understanding of what we are talking about, it might be of encouragement and help to us as we continue to study the Word of God. Now, my little time about lunch. The story is told by Dr. Ben Carson, the surgeon with gifted hands, that a certain man sent a gift to his mother. And the gift that he sent to his mother consisted of 2 birds. These birds were very expensive birds. They cost $5,000 apiece. The birds could sing. The birds could dance. The birds could talk in 7 different languages. So after he had sent this gift to his mother, I hadn't seen her for a while, he didn't hear anything from her. So one day he picked up the phone and he called. When he called his mother, he said, "Mom, how do you like those birds that I sent to you? Those birds could laugh. Those birds could talk. Those birds could sing. Those birds could speak in 7 different languages." His mother said, "Well, those birds were good." He said, "Mom, I hope you didn't eat those birds. Those birds are so expensive, they cost $5,000 a piece." And she said, "Well, they should have said something." I want you to understand that in intercession, we must say something. Are you talking to the Lord and telling him what is on your heart? Am I speaking to the Lord and telling him what is on my heart? Am I coming before him with my problems, or am I keeping them bottled up? You should say something to the Lord. You find yourself in trouble? Speak to the Lord. You find yourself being encouraged and life seems to be going fairly smoothly? Talk to the Lord. If life is going too smoothly, perhaps you are in the greatest danger of all. But we need to speak to the Lord. Today, in a special way, we're thinking more of speaking to the Lord on behalf of others. And I believe that that is what the emphasis has been all day. We need to talk to the Lord. We need to intercede on behalf of the problems and the persons around us. We need to really communicate with the Lord. Now I want to say, why should I communicate with the Lord? Why should I intercede? First of all, because God is able. If there are any problems around, if there are any difficulties in our lives and in the lives of those brethren around us whom we love, we must talk to the Lord because God is able. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, he says precisely that. Our God is able. So the God to whom we are speaking can do something about the situation. He has the power. He has the wisdom. He has the compassion. He has the love in his heart for you and me and for our people. We must talk to the Lord as well because he is the God of gods. Are there little gods out there? Well, there's a big, great, mighty God whom we serve. And he is above them all. He's a God of God and a Lord of kings. I believe in the book of Daniel, that's the only time we read that expression put that way. He's the Lord of kings. Some places we read of the Lord Jesus, King of kings. But in the book of Daniel, he's the Lord of kings. And it is very interesting. And then, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 27, with God, all things are possible. Situations that you and I cannot turn around. Situations in which we are helpless and feeble. God is the God of the impossible. Things that are impossible, I have seen my God do. We must understand that the God to whom we come is a God who performs many times the impossible. What is not possible with man is possible with God. Now, I understand also by reading the book of Daniel that it was God who had given Jehoiakim the king in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 2 into the hands of the king of Babylon. The Bible puts it that way that we must understand that it wasn't the ingenuity of the opposing king. It was not the any kind of human reason for this. But it was God who gave the king of Israel into the hand of the king of Babylon. It is God who did all of this. And then it was God who brought Daniel into loving favor with the prince of the eunuch. God worked on the man's heart. God can work on hearts. You and I can't really work on hearts, but God works on hearts. And he is the one who had performed this and made sure that Daniel found favor with the prince of the eunuch. Now I want to, in this book of Daniel in chapter 9, to just pull up some expressions out of the same chapter where we are going to see Daniel doing different things in the chapter in relation to intercession. First of all, I want to say that if you look at chapter 9 and verse 3, we find, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. I want to pause right there, prayer. This is how I began. We have to practice talking to our God. Prayer. Prayer here is a word that indicates intercession. If you look it up, this word prayer, as used here in verse 3, the first explanation given is intercession. That is what Daniel was doing, interceding on behalf of his people, talking to his God to get help for his people. Not only is it found there, but also in verse 70, now therefore, O our God, hear the intercession or the prayer of your servant. Daniel was living his life to please the Lord. The king's things Daniel and his companions would refuse. But Daniel was seeking to be upright and godly as before his God. And therefore he brought his prayer. And he says to the Lord, now therefore, O God, hear the intercession, really, of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Prayer. Now, if we have prayer mentioned here, let us understand also that there is a branch of this matter of speaking to God that is called thanksgiving. What is that? Thanksgiving is saying thanks to God for any gift that he gives. And then there's praise. What is praise? If I wanted to praise my wife, I speak well of her. And that is what it is. You and I must learn to speak well of our God on Sunday mornings when we come to the breaking of bread. And their brother raises to his feet. What occupies us many times is speaking well of the Lord Jesus in the ears of his God and Father. This is called praise. But what prompts the praise? I'm afraid that what should be prompting by praise, I'm saying P-R-A-I-S-E, praise. What should be prompting this is something called worship. But I want us to be very clear, and I'm sure that the saints here are very well taught. I can appreciate that as I sat and listened to persons like Brother John and so on. We realize that the saints are very well taught. But what is praise? If we turn to Psalm 45, I want you to notice something very interesting in Psalm 45. And it has to do with the punctuation of verse 1 of Psalm 45. No, we're not in school, but our grammar still helps us. Here in Psalm 45 of verse 1, notice very clearly, my heart is inditing a good matter. And then there are two dots. And this is necessary because the first part of this verse has nothing to do with my talk. It has everything to do with my thoughts and my heart. And my mouth is closed. The psalmist is saying, my heart is indicting a good matter. He is not saying a single word. His lips are closed. But it is his heart that is occupying itself with God. Now, if this happens, shortly I'm going to open my mouth. But for the moment, I am thinking of him. I am enjoying him. I am admiring the Lord. This is called worship. Now, for some people, this might sound strange. There are some people out there in the world who believe that worship is talk and singing and doing this and doing that. Not in the scriptures. In the scriptures, Psalm 45 verse 1 puts it very nicely. My heart is indicting a good matter. Then there's that punctuation mark. Because so far that is worship. But then out of worship, he goes on a little further and he says, I speak. And it's very interesting and important to realize that there's a big difference between the worship and the speaking. If there's no worship, the speaking should stop. I must be first worshiping the Lord. And out of that worshiping heart, then I open my mouth in thanksgiving and praise and so on. But worship is not words. Someone has put it this way. Worship is the occupation of the human heart with divine persons. Someone has put it another way. Worship is when the soul finds itself in the presence of God in the spirit. That is what worship is. I find myself in the presence of God in the spirit. And John would say in the book of Revelation, I became in the spirit on the Lord's day. We need more and more of that. To be in the spirit on the Lord's day. We can be in the spirit all week though. Let me be very quick to add that. But when we come on Lord's day, to honor the Lord Jesus in that special memorial, we should be in the spirit. And we should not open our mouths until we are found in the spirit. Sometimes we believe that we make up the time by talk. I'm afraid that that is not true. What we need to do is to spend more time in worship. The Lord will lead us up as he sees fit thereafter. But it is important for us to spend that time in worship. And then we come to the idea of supplication. Daniel 9 verse 3. Notice this verse. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my prayer and supplications. Supplication emphasizes that the prayer is earnest. It is not some casual thing. It is something in which my heart is bound up. It is earnest prayer. That's what supplication is. And Daniel knew what it was to supplicate on behalf of his people. He was earnestly seeking the mind of the Lord and the help of the Lord as Daniel presented the cause of his people to a loving God, but yet a God who was disciplining his people because they had been disobedient. And if there are these supplications that go up to God, let us also notice that there is intercession. Daniel would intercede on behalf of his people by bringing before the Lord their cause. And he, a man to whom God would listen, not because he was perfect, but because he was one of God's Nazarites, God's saints, who sought to serve the Lord, who hated evil and loved what was pleasing to the Lord. And so the Lord listened to him. And he is interceding on behalf of the Lord's people, Jerusalem and so on. Why is Jerusalem so important to God. Why are these supplications going up on behalf of this people? In Zechariah 2 and verse 12, we find that the land is called in the scriptures the Holy Land. In Ezekiel 5 and verse 5, it is called the navel of the earth, the navel of the land. Why is it so? Your navel is more or less central to your body, your structure, your navel. And when God placed Israel on the map, when he designed the world, he put Israel as the inhabited center of the entire earth. And Ezekiel 5 and verse 5 mentions it that way. The navel of the earth, that is the land of Israel. Israel is also being interceded, the intercession is going up on behalf of Israel. She is called the glory of all lands. This we find in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 6 and 15. The glory of all lands. And in Daniel 9 and verse 24, that verse that we read a little earlier, what is Israel called in this verse? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, says the verse, and upon thy holy city. It is called the holy city because it is connected with the Holy One who knew no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ chose to be born there. He chose to be born there because he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. She is the holy city. And in Psalm 84, if I use the language of verse 4 of Psalm 84, just one phrase. This man was born there. This is what gives Jerusalem her greatness. The fact that the Son of God became a man and was born there in the holy city, in the land of Israel. Now we discover that Daniel was such a great intercessor as before his God, that his name is mentioned in conjunction with two other men. In Ezekiel 14 and verses 14 and 20, we find three men mentioned who were tremendous intercessors before God. Noah, Daniel, and Job. And the Lord said, listen, though these men were there in that city and could intercede to God on behalf of the city, they will only deliver themselves. God had seen that things had gone so far that he says they would only deliver themselves. But then, in Daniel 9 and verse 4, I discovered this important fact that Daniel made confession before his God. Daniel chapter 4, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Confession has to do with the fact that I name the sin that I have committed. Listen, if you or I sin against God, let us not skirt the issue. Let us not run away from it. Let us name the problem that we have committed. Let us tell God exactly what it is. I remember the story of a man, who was a believer. But one night he went back to the bottle and he drank too much and he got drunk. He was a believer, but he got drunk. This may happen to believers. I've heard a story of a brother who went to France. And in France, as you would know, wine is a normal beverage that they serve. And he drank a little more than was good for him, and he became tipsy. It can happen to a believer. But this other man that I was speaking about, he got drunk. And he went to another brother and he said to this brother, listen, brother, you know, I took a little too much. And he was using very soft language on himself. The senior brother said to him, listen, brother, tell the Lord that you got drunk. And he was hedging and he didn't want to cough it up. So the older brother said to him, tell the Lord that you got drunk. And the problem was only solved when he fully admitted the problem. When he really went before the Lord and poured his heart out, tears came down, and he had really released himself from this burden that he was bottling all the time. Listen, are there any sins that have been committed? Tell them to the Lord. Is there a real problem that is pressing down on me? Tell it to the Lord. Daniel interceded for his people. His people had failed the Lord. The Lord had allowed them to be carried away captive into Babylon and so on. They needed the Lord's help. Daniel poured out the confession before the Lord. Now, why is he saying, why is Daniel making confession to the Lord? I want you to notice in verse 2 that Daniel says, I have sinned. In verse 2, he first understands by books the problem that was before him. He was a student of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And in verse 20, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, it isn't so much that Daniel had personally sinned, but he entered into the difficulty of his people. And in verse 20, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yeah, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel and so on came to me. Daniel confessed the sins of Israel as if he had personally sinned. Not only does he do that, but in verse 5 of Daniel 9, where we are, he says, we have sinned. Now he associates himself with his people. He says, we have sinned. Beloved, many times I remember notices being read of young people perhaps who were put away from the fellowship for one thing or another. They had gone too far, and the assembly had no choice but to act for the glory of God. And the senior brother would stand there and say, Lord, forgive us. We have sinned. And some younger ones wonder, what is this man saying? Has he been part of this act and so on? Let us understand that when a brother stands to his feet to speak on behalf of the assembly, he is speaking for the assembly. And if we are not conscious of that, it is better not to speak. It is better for someone who is able to enter into it and to see that we all are part and parcel of each other, and that a speck of leaven leavens the whole lot. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote in the book of Corinthians concerning this matter, he is saying that the least leaven, this is the better way really for it to be translated, the least leaven leavens the whole lot. And, you know, that makes it so very important for us to appreciate the least leaven. A little speck of leaven getting into the dough means that the whole loaf has been leavened. That is the point. It isn't that leading brothers personally have sinned in that way, on that same matter. But the point is this, they enter into the problem of the people of God. So Daniel says in verse 5, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity. Verse 6, neither have we hearkened, and so on, unto thy servants the prophet, who spoke to us in the name of our kings and princes, and so on. Daniel is very conscious that this is what is so true. But look also and notice in the same verse 18. That Daniel is putting his petition before God and desiring that God will help the nation of Israel from this point of view. It is not that he is saying, God, you must help us because we deserve your help. No, he is saying, not for any righteousness of ours, but for thy great mercy. This is where intercession comes in. For the great mercies of the Lord, we cast ourselves on him. And the Lord himself is going to come in on behalf of his people, not because we deserve it, but because of his great mercy. If we are very conscious of the fact that there is sin within us, there's a little verse that goes, but they who fain would serve thee best are conscious most of wrong within. If we really understand ourselves, we will be very conscious that there's sin within us, our thoughts, our hearts. We have to be so careful. So we find Daniel joining with his people and really saying to his God, this is our problem. And we cast ourselves on you, O God, not because we are righteous, but because you are greatly merciful. Now, we want to see, too, that Daniel was a student of the Word of God. As we study the Word of God, God reveals his heart to us. We learn more and more. We are led by the Spirit of God. In verse 25, there are 70 weeks that Daniel is understanding from his reading of Jeremiah the prophet, that in those 70 weeks, God would bring about the desolations of Jerusalem. And as I bring my little portion of this to a halt, I want you to understand that this 70 weeks, the word week that is used here, is a word that indicates 7 years. Every week in this 70 weeks is a week of years and not a week of days. And if we appreciate that, we will understand a bit more of the 70 weeks that Daniel is speaking about. 490 years all told. Daniel is given an account for when he speaks about the 70 weeks. But listen, how did Daniel come to understand these things? We are told, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of weeks in which the Lord would do these things to Jerusalem. And when he said he understood by books, he had been studying the book of the prophet Jeremiah. In chapter 9 of verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years wherein the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel understood that the Lord would come in judgment upon his people. He also understood that the Messiah would come. He also understood that the kingdom would be interrupted. The Messiah would go back to heaven and return. So we see how important it is to appreciate the heart of this godly man as he sought to intercede on behalf of his people Israel in the presence of a holy God who loved Israel and sent his son, born of a woman, born of this very race, to be the redeemer of the world. May the Lord help you to appreciate more and more as you look at the outline, the thoughts of Daniel putting himself in the place of his people. The thoughts of Daniel calling to the right person. The thought of Daniel not doing it because Daniel felt he was worthy. No. But Daniel understood that God is full of mercy. And as he interceded, God listened to his servant, and God came in to help his people. God will yet come in response to the prayer of Daniel in the day to come. Now, oh, may God help you and me to be intercessors also in our time and in our day, so that God might be glorified and the Lord Jesus Christ might be honored and magnified for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.